Welcome to another episode of The Gal Show featuring the most interesting women in technology. We're joined by a very special guest today, Kathleen Hogan, Executive Vice President of Human Resources here at Microsoft. Golnaz, I think she might know a thing or two about women in tech.
I think so, too. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for doing this series. I think it's fabulous.
Yes, we got approval from head of HR.
Yes.
Let's continue. Season two.
Woo!
I haven't seen this one yet.
So. Oh, yeah.
The jury is out.
So you're pretty much a walking resume. Harvard, Stanford, what was the other ones? McKinsey, partner at McKinsey. I mean, the list goes on, and now you're head of HR at Microsoft. Like, that's amazing. But before we go in there, we're going to start at the beginning. Where did you grow up, where you went to high school, and what was your first job?
Well, I grew up in Brookfield, Wisconsin.
Don't you know?
Wisconsin. Wisconsin. Went to Brookfield Central High School in Brookfield, Wisconsin. My first job, I think officially, that I actually got paid for was babysitting.
Nice.
But then I'd say after that, I graduated to working in a factory. I worked in product miniature. And I riveted beer signs, and that was my summer job before I went to college.
Wow, that's really interesting. What kind of beer?
I don't even know, but it was beer signs. So, honestly, all I had was the gold frame of the beer sign.
Okay, so you didn't see the final print.
I riveted that. Actually, it was Budweiser, because my friend who was there put the little gold thing in the bubble of the B for the Budweiser sign.
That was her only job?
That was her job, right? Each of our job took about 10 seconds, and that's what you did all day long.
Wow.
So my dad thought it would be good for me to appreciate going to college, and he really was right, because, you know, you do that for a whole summer, and you are motivated.
Yeah. So then, I know 10 years ago, we had a video of you on Channel 9, and you were VP of Microsoft Services. And in the video, you talked a lot about women in tech and diversity and inclusivity and all that stuff. And now you're the head of HR.
It's come full circle.
Right? It's like you just were going in that path. But really, how did you get into this whole, from Harvard to get your MBA at Stanford and then to Microsoft? What is that journey like the career path you took?
Well, you know, it's interesting when you talked about esteemed places. You didn't include that I started at Oracle, which I think now that we're at Microsoft, maybe we downplay that a little bit. But right out of college, I started my career at Oracle and was a developer and spent 4 years there and learned a ton. In fact, I really loved being a developer. I was a development manager. But then at some point, I decided it was time to get my MBA, and so I did that, and then ended up at McKinsey and spent 9 years at McKinsey working with lots of companies in lots of different industries. But one of my customers or clients at the time was Microsoft, so I spent 5 years, I think, serving Microsoft as a consultant until I officially joined in 2003. So. Mm-hmm.
And then how did you get to the head of HR? Were you like, did you want the role? Like, were you like, oh, I love all this stuff?
Well, it sounded really good if I said I always wanted to be the head of HR.
Yeah.
But I don't know that, I think I always wanted to be a teacher or something when I was really young, as opposed to I had a vision for the head of HR. But I will tell you, my last role at before running HR was running services. And people are our product, you know, and so it's all about attracting and developing and retaining exceptional talent if you want to be good at consulting and support. Mm-hmm. And so I always loved that side of the business, the people side of the business. But certainly now moving into the role of HR, I've learned a lot that I didn't know sitting on that side of the house.
Yeah. So when you were a VP and now you're an executive VP, do you work more? Are you working a lot more?
I don't think I am working more.
Okay.
I guess that's the good news.
Yeah.
Or the bad news, depending on how you look at it. No,
still I still have a balance in life and hanging out with family and all that.
Yeah, you know, I would say it's an eternal struggle to make sure you are finding that balance, but that's something I think I work really hard at. I've got a 14-year-old and really important to me to spend time with him. I mean, if I look at this week, we've got the SLT meeting on Friday, senior leadership team meeting on Friday, and he's got a game in Portland. So I said to Satya, I'll be on the phone. And then next week, I'm going to Alaska with my parents for vacation.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm figuring out how to do that.
Yeah, just I am Satya, BRB, you gotta go. That's cool.
No, but he's really supportive about that. One thing I've learned in my career is to be really open with whoever you're working with and ask them to help you as you figure out how to do both.
Absolutely.
Right? Manage the career and manage the family.
Yeah. Well, let's get into the new culture at Microsoft.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
the new culture.
The new culture. I mean, it's very different. I've been here 5 years, and I've seen a lot of changes. So, so I do know we're going in a new culture direction. Can you talk a little bit about it? And I know when Satya took over, it was a big mission for him for diversity and equal pay and all that. So, when you joined, when he hired you, what was it like?
Well, when Satya asked me to take the role, and the first time we sat down and talked about the role, he really said, "Look, the number one priority I want you to help me with is evolve the culture." And that doesn't mean we want to walk away from a lot of amazing things that have built this company over the last 40 years, our spirit of taking on big, bold ambitions, our spirit of giving. I mean, I'm so proud of the way our people give back to the community. And so we didn't want to walk away from that. But it was a discussion around what's going to get us to the next chapter. And we mined a lot of surveys. We did a lot of roundtables. There was a lot of discussions we had. But when I was just talking with Satya, I really said, what is the essence for you? He really talked about this notion of being more open, learning, viewing failure as essential to mastery, being willing to take more risks, recognizing that leadership isn't about being the smartest person in the room, but truly bringing out the best in others. And so as we talked about this, he said, you know, I've read this book. It's called Mindset by Carol Dweck. In fact, his wife had recommended it. And I started reading that book, and the more we started talking about it, the more he said, you know, this concept of a growth mindset really epitomizes this from to, in terms of really from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset. And so we decided to, after a long process, I won't go through the whole process, but we had a big process, got a lot of people involved, but in the end decided to ground our culture in this concept of a growth mindset. And then really apply it to what we thought were the three core areas, you know, being really more customer obsessed, really focusing on our fans, or creating fans. Being more diverse and inclusive, you know, going back to, you know, my 10 years ago. but recognizing that if we're going to build products for everybody on the planet, we got to represent everybody on the planet.
Exactly.
And not just represent them, but have their voices heard. That's where the inclusion is as important as the diversity part. And then really operating as one Microsoft. Really, you know, at the end of the day, showing up for our customers as Team Microsoft, not Team Individual Group, to really fully bring the power of Microsoft to our customers. And ultimately, we think we, when we do that with technology, we make a difference in the lives of people. And we don't think that's changed in terms of, I think we've always stood for that as a company.
Cool.
But that's sort of the road trip we're on in terms of trying to, ground our culture in a growth mindset. And I think we know that it starts with the individual. You know, Satya jokes about people coming up and saying, I've identified people who don't have a growth mindset. No, it's really about each of us recognizing sometimes we show up with a fixed mindset and sometimes we show up with a growth mindset. And how do we just get each of us to show up more with that growth mindset versus you have a growth mindset or you don't? It's just how do you in general operate in the growth mindset way?
So when we talk about, like, I had a VP at an all hands recently, and he's like, we're going to get away from the traditional recruitment. We're going to try to go after the diversity. What is traditional recruitment? What are we doing that's like the new recruitment?
I wonder what he was talking about. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know exactly what he meant, but I'll tell you what I'm assuming, which is, you know, at first, again, it starts with this premise that if we're going to achieve our mission, which is to empower everybody on the planet, you've got to represent everybody on the planet. And how do you represent everybody on the planet? Well, it's recognizing that for different groups, if you want to bring them into the company, thinking more expansively about which talent pools we go after. In fact, I just had a meeting this morning where I know some groups have actually gone for women who have left the workforce and then are coming back into the workforce. And, you know, what should that interview process look like? We're looking at people with autism and having the interview process be thoughtful and accommodate that. We've talked about, you know, people with disabilities. If you're deaf, you know, not having phone interviews. I mean, it seems so obvious, but really thinking about not just gender, but all different facets of diversity and how do we have a recruiting process that's just more inclusive? I mean, including just having diverse folks on the interview loop, right? Having diverse people in the calibration discussion to make sure that we're, you know, not just thinking myopically, but thinking expansively in terms of can this talent be successful here? You know, I think the emphasis has a lot been on what we call screening out, and we're really trying to figure out how to screen in.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's looking at where do you know, biases or other things get in the way where we should be screening in because the talent meets the bar, mm-hmm. right? We're not talking about screening in where talent doesn't meet the bar. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we did that myth busting where people said, oh, it's got to be from one of these 16 schools. Well, we've looked and said if you went to the 16 schools or the other schools or the other schools, I won't say ABC schools, you know, 5 years out from a performance perspective, there's no difference at Microsoft.
Wow.
You know, so how do you say, well, it doesn't have to only be from mm-hmm. those schools. We can go to other schools and get really great talent and therefore cast a wider net and get more diverse talent that way.
Oh, wow. Yeah, just give them the chance to blossom. And Microsoft's very encouraging and motivating, so it's super easy
to assume that's what he was talking about, but I don't know.
Maybe I'll ask him.
If he's watching this and he's doing something else, I'm curious because we're constantly learning about that. In fact, we are next year coming out with this inclusive hiring training that we're going to have all managers go through in terms mm-hmm. of what are the best practices around mm-hmm. really having a more inclusive hiring mm-hmm. Process and how do we share those best practices.
Okay, nice. So including or diverting away from recruitment, let's talk about this whole LinkedIn deal. What are your thoughts on LinkedIn? I mean, that's a huge platform for HR people to use, and what's Microsoft's idea on it? What's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, well, I'm really excited about it. And in fact, I had the honor of actually being there on Monday where Satya with Jeff Weiner actually talked about it. And I think what, for me, was most exciting is the alignment on mission, the alignment on purpose, the alignment on culture. I mean, the thing I've been really excited about, too, is partnering with Pat, who's the head of HR down there, and the alignment on culture. So I think we're really excited about the opportunity with our cloud and all of our productivity and their amazing network and what they've done with recruiting and learning and some of their assets to marry these two together and create something incredible for people.
Nice.
And I, as the head of HR, have really been using their platform a lot, both for recruiting. I mean, it's amazing how many people now we recruit using LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And so we certainly use it from that perspective. And then I've also used it as probably my key way of communicating and using social media mm-hmm. with LinkedIn mm-hmm. and connecting with HR professionals around the world. Being new to HR, it's been invaluable to me to just connect with a lot of my peers around the world and share and make that connection.
Mm-hmm.
But well, they've made it really easy. So
yeah, I mean,
I'm optimistic. I'm really excited. It's we've just announced. We've got to go get through close and all of that. Mm-hmm. So
exactly. Yeah. Cool.
There's probably some legal caveat I have to say there in terms of, you know, we haven't closed. But I'm very optimistic. And like I said, the thing that got me really excited was just that alignment around mission, purpose, and culture.
Mm-hmm. It's very similar, the whole company and direction.
Well, when you were at LinkedIn, Kathleen, did you notice their culture? Do they have a growth mindset? Were you able to see that there?
I think they absolutely have a growth mindset. They don't call their culture growth mindset, but a lot of the learning and curiosity and that which they talk about, member first, they call it member first. We would call it customer obsession, mm-hmm. but really focusing on the customer, you know, really treating people beautifully is something. So the words are different, but the I think the essence we found very similar, and so mm-hmm. I think we're very excited about that.
And speaking of LinkedIn, you had a couple posts.
I do.
Yes. One was on the millennials and the workforce and how they're changing it. And then the other one was about the Delve Analytics. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the millennial one. What made you want to write that piece?
Oh, it's just, we've been looking a lot about the different generations at Microsoft. I mean, it's another element around diversity. How do we make all generations feel inclusive here? Sometimes there's so much talk about the millennials that I want to make sure that all generations know that they're important and welcomed here. But if you look at the numbers by 2025, I think 75% of the workforce is expected to be millennial. So it would be kind of remiss not to mm-hmm. focus on what that group wants and what's going to make this an exceptional place for them. Mm-hmm. And how do we make sure that we're focusing on mm-hmm. that?
Do you work with a lot of millennials?
Yes, but you know, if I'm honest, my direct reports I would say probably are not millennials.
You need to be a little more experienced than our group. I'm not. Yeah, shucks.
Sorry. But you know, a lot of the things I try to do is just do different roundtables or different mm-hmm. ways of getting that perspective. So mm-hmm.
yeah.
Ooh, do you mentor any millennials?
I would have to. I'd have to figure out the age range to say if,
you know. Don't know their
so
exact age.
What is the age range? Like 80 to...
It's
1980 to 2000 birth years?
I think I have some that are on the cusp. I don't know that I have any that are right out of college, although I do try to spend time with, in fact, I've got lunch with our interns, it's this week or next week, but it's coming up. And so different ways that I get to meet with the folks from college, even if I'm not officially mentoring mentoring one of them.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And then the whole Delve Analytics thing, that's pretty cool. I mean, what are your hours looking like when you look into it? Is it just like ridiculous?
No, but it's been really eye-opening for me. I mean, I think the thing that I'm excited about Delve Analytics is it's certainly helping us, from a company perspective, gain insights. Certain talent that have amazing networks, and so you start to understand key trends there. But we're really trying to flip it and not have it just be about how management can look at data to gain insights, but truly how do you empower the individual to have the right conversations? And so for me in particular, I've been looking at who do I respond to quickly, and sort of doing my own self-reflection on my own biases. Yeah. Like I've realized there's certain people that send me mails and I think, oh my gosh, this is gonna take a long time because they typically send me long mails, very thoughtful mails, and so then I wait for later when I really have that time to look at them. But then the response time isn't that quick. And so I've been changing my own behavior based on the insights I'm personally getting from it.
And then your after hours, is it like you need to bring it back down?
For me, I don't rotate so much on that because I mix shift a lot. I will leave early because I'm trying to do something with James or go to his school or whatever, and then I mix shift into the evening. But I think the insight for me, though, is the correlation between managers who send mail after hours and on the weekend and satisfaction with employees at Microsoft. Ooh. And so while I may mix shift, that insight has made me more conscious of trying to do my own work, but not be sending mails and putting that on other people.
Oh,
so I can't say I'm 100% on that, but I'm aware because I've got that insight, which is, wow, if you're mix shifting and spending your weekend catching up because you did other things during the week, you could be impacting the satisfaction of your employees. So you might be you want to be thoughtful about that.
Okay.
Is there a direct correlation there, Kathleen?
Yeah, that's where, that's why I say the thing with Delve, which is so interesting, is there are those aggregate insights that we can get to, help empower managers, et cetera, with insights, and then there's the individual insights. But yeah, that's one of the correlations our shout out to my HRBI team did, looking at Delve and then looking at our poll results and really making that correlation and showing people, look, where you're, the managers who have high proportion of emails overnight or long lag times in terms of responding to their employees, there was a correlation.
Interesting.
So you did announce a couple things about being more transparent. I mean, Channel 9 loves transparency. That's what we're known for here. We get inside the people who make the products. We talk to them. But you did a whole thing on the gender pay, the female hiring numbers. How did that come about? Were like you and Sacha brainstorming and like, we should announce something. We should do this. How did that come about?
Well, I'd say it's part of what I would say is one of many steps on this journey, and so as much as the culture and the growth mindset and all of that was super important, as I said, one of the core pillars is this diversity and inclusion. So we've been thinking a lot about what are things that we can do along this journey to be more diverse and inclusive, taking the unconscious bias training. We've implemented talent talks where that's a key focus, looking at more inclusive hiring practices, sharing our representation numbers. That was one step. Then, of course, the next step was, looking at by salary, role for like role, do we have the same salary? Some people said, oh, well, that was a given. That was sort of obvious. Well, the reality is there's a pretty wide compa ratio, so it actually wasn't a given. So that was a step. I know there are more steps that people would like us to take, and we view this as an ongoing journey. People don't like the word journey, so we say it's a road trip. We're on a road trip here. And so we'll continue to look at what's next. Mm-hmm. But, I would say it was one of many steps that we've been, looking at in terms of our journey to be more diverse and inclusive. And I put that in the accountability bucket. When we think about diversity and inclusion, we think about four buckets. How do we build the pipeline? How do we recruit? And bring in more diverse talent? How do we retain and develop more diverse talent? And then how do we really hold ourselves accountable? And what are some of the things we can do to really drive accountability? And so it's, as we look at those four things, and I could spend the whole time talking about what we're doing in each of those four buckets, I would put that in bucket four. But I would put it as one of many things in
bucket
four.
So what do you hear in the industry as the biggest challenge for women in tech and how to get more women involved in technical companies and technical roles? What's something that it's universally accepted at, and what do you think is a main problem?
That's a good,
a little meaty.
I know, I'm kind of like wanting to know what you think it is.
I think it all starts from...
I don't know if you do have a...
Oh, I do, yeah. I think it starts from childhood and video games. I was such a big video game player. I bought all those PlayStations, Xbox, everything. But none of my friends did, my girlfriends. But the guys did. And I was always like, okay, I feel left out. I obviously shouldn't be playing as much as I want to. And so, I don't know, I think it starts from like a young age and we need to divide that. I saw a good YouTube video and it was how the whole marketing for video games started. And it was, they had a decline in sales. So they were like, let's figure out how to sell video games more. So they put it, let's sell it as a toy. And it was divided, the boys section, girls section. They were just like, let's put it in the boys section. And that's what happened.
Right.
So, like, this marketing, this branding behind it is what, when I was growing up, made it more of a boy toy than a girl.
Right.
And so I think it starts young. And that's what tech, computers, all that stuff is like the boys get really into it. And then it's just, I don't have a solution.
You know, I think Minecraft's changed that a little bit now. You know, you see a lot more girls, like, on computers playing around and... I was in a classroom earlier this year, and all the girls and boys, but they're fifth graders, were so into Minecraft. They wanted to do everything Minecraft. We want to code. We want to do Minecraft. Like, we want to code a little bit. We want to do Minecraft. So it's like, I think Minecraft does bridge that and makes it a little bit more inclusive for girls.
I went to an hour of code in Cusco, Peru.
Yeah.
We shot a video there, and the room was filled, half boys, half girls. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. It is filling that.
Well, and I do think it's changing. I mean, that's why, I hesitate on the question, because I think, not to make it complex, but I think there are so many dimensions to it, right, versus one thing. You know, it's how do you get people young, interested, to your point. I mean, I feel very lucky when I was in fourth grade, my fourth grade teacher thought I was good at math and pulled me aside and said, I actually think you're good at math, and put me on a separate program. And I think about that, if Mr. Deadheart, that was my math teacher, hadn't said that, hadn't pulled me aside, would I have had that mindset that I can do this and maybe not, right? And so I think, how do you get people early to believe that they can do these things? Then it's also changing, I think, the recruiting practices and some of those elements as well. I think it's even helping managers think about how you manage people's their career over the lifespan. I always talk about there's times in my career where I wanted to invest, work really hard, and then there are times where I wanted to harvest, and I wanted to have more flexibility, whether it was because I was, having my first child or I was going through cancer or whatever those life events. How do you have, the ability to invest, but then harvest, invest and harvest? And if you've got managers who are helping you during those transitions or those crucial moments, that can make a huge difference in people wanting to stay in the game or not. Right. And so I think that plays a big role, too. And then I think the culture matters, too. Right. If people come and, you're one of few and the culture, rotates to one style and that's not your style or whatever, I think that's hard as well. So I think this whole culture of being more inclusive matters. So I think it's many things.
Yeah.
But I wish I had the one single answer. But we're trying to improve on many dimensions to try to, improve on diversity for sure.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's You're here. Answer. That's great.
I didn't listen to the people saying don't play video games. So
did you have a Mr. Deadheart that pulled you aside, told you were good at math?
My mom.
Your mom.
My mom. Yeah. You can do it, Golnaz. I believe in you. Oh, thanks, Mom.
Good job, Mom.
Yeah, good job, Mom. All right. Oh, we got a good one here. I hope you can answer it. So as head of HR, you have some funny stories, I'm sure. Can you share anything? Anything. Oh, yeah. I was just like, did that really just happen? I mean, if you can, it's okay, but.
I know, I'm like sitting here thinking, what can I possibly share? it's funny that you say that, though, only because I have my all hands with my team tomorrow, and I'm going to talk about all the amazing things that the team has done, in terms of recruiting, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end, I have one slide that's just, thank you. If it's important to our people, it's important to us. And I really appreciate that, because you would be surprised some of the questions and the inquiries that we get from, really, really serious to, wow, I can't believe you're asking. But no matter what that spectrum is, treating that person with respect and trying to answer it. I will say I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot. And certainly, you get the spectrum. But above all, people are really amazing people. Mm-hmm. And frankly, at Microsoft, people honestly, they want to make a difference. They want to have great careers. Yeah. They want to give back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, despite some of that, I've just been really inspired by our people.
Nice.
For sure.
So where do you see your career headed? Are you going to stay in this role?
I will tell you, I feel like I've won the lottery in terms of winning or working with Satya, who I really do think is just an incredible leader, and I'm really inspired by his vision. Love being in HR. I'm learning a ton. So right now, I feel like I feel really good about it. I feel like I've got a great opportunity to learn, to grow, and hopefully try to make a difference. So.
Oh, you are. Yeah.
So,
which is why we have it on the show.
Well, okay. I see. If I wasn't, I wouldn't have been invited.
Yes,
thank you.
Exactly. No, but you're doing great.
But I right now I'm loving it. So
cool. Keep writing LinkedIn articles, and we'll keep reading.
No,
them.
Thank you.
All right, let's wrap it up. We have our lightning round. We didn't tell you about this.
No, you did not.
Yeah, we got lightning round coming up. So we're just going to go through a series of questions. Just answer them real quick. Don't
worry.
Are
this like I get one word answers?
No, you can say a sentence.
It's rapid fire. So however fast you answer, we have to think of a question really fast. And then get right back to you.
This sounds exciting. Intense. I don't know. Dangerous, maybe, is the word that comes to mind.
No, they're not hard. They're not hard questions. All right. We'll start with you.
All right. What is one thing you spend money on that makes your life easier?
Somebody to clean my house.
That's a good one. What's the first thing you do in the morning before you head to work?
Shower.
Smart. I mean, most people like go to the gym or answer emails.
Brush your teeth.
I was going to say I look at my phone, but I thought that might be bad. But the truth is I probably look at my phone, see if they're, you know.
Urgent emails. I do that too. It's really bad.
Star Trek or Star Wars?
Star Wars.
What's your favorite app?
LinkedIn, can I say that?
Oh, okay, that counts.
Yeah. That's a good one. But really, is it?
Like Candy Crush, you want me to do something better?
Yeah, I knew it.
Ninja.
Okay, along those lines, what is your biggest online time waster?
That's a good one.
Probably watching YouTube videos, if I'm being honest, besides doing email. Not that email's a waste of time, but I spend the majority of my time doing email and that, but then sometimes, you know, I'll go watch YouTube videos.
Do you listen to music while you work?
No.
Oh.
Can't do the follow-up question. Okay, secret. Right. On your playlist then, if you're working out, whatever it is, in the car, one song that you love but you're like embarrassed about. It's on your playlist, it's on your phone, and if it comes up, you're like, oh.
I don't know if I should be embarrassed, but I like Kelly Clarkson, What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Stronger.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good song.
Yeah, that's a pump-up song. I like that song.
Aww.
If I were to be, you know, if I'd go back to my roots as, you know, growing up in the 80s, you know, REO Speedwagon, you know, people would probably say I should be embarrassed about that, but they were a good band when I was back in the day.
Nice.
I've got lots of embarrassing ones.
It's
whole Disney playlist.
Frozen or something?
Well, you know, I don't have Frozen. I'm a little old for Frozen, I guess. I didn't see it, but like Lion King, Little Mermaid, it's all on there.
I have some embarrassing like 90s music, that like pop 90s I still listen to, and I'm always embarrassed on the shuttle getting to work that my
like that people unplugged. Can see what it is.
Oh no, it just unplugs and the audio's still playing. That's my biggest nightmare. I'm like, oh God.
Just own it.
Just live it up. Yeah. All right, last question. Really, it's getting serious now. What's your advice for the younger generation to get into tech?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, trying to do the internships is obviously a key
thing.
Yeah. You know, just applying. And then I'd say the other thing is networking. You know, mm-hmm. I'm amazed at how many people, you know, network. Even just now I had a millennial right out of college, actually several years out of college, but wanted advice and came in via network and, you know, just gave him advice. And now he's doing a few steps before he would be ready for the intern. But I think that networking mm-hmm. gave him the advice and met with the right people to now get him ready to be an intern. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you don't get one, I'd say, you know, talk to people in the industry, get advice on what to do and invest in yourself. Don't give up.
This is coming from head of HR at Microsoft. So listen.
Yeah.
That's good advice. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think, I mean, I thought you were going to say, you know, what's your advice for life, which I think is really
let's do that one. What's your advice on life?
Well, in terms of what to do in your life, right, which is if tech is your passion, then I would say, you know, but it's about pursuing your passion. Mm-hmm. It's what are you passionate about? Mm-hmm. What, You know, if you can find purpose in your work, that's why I feel like being at Microsoft, where what I get excited about is so aligned with the mission. If you can find companies like that, I think that's where the magic really happens. Mm-hmm. So trying to figure out what you're really passionate about and then try to find a company where you can pursue that passion, that sense of purpose within the company. I think, you know, that's when you've really struck it rich.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah,
this
was
fun.
It was so fun. Thank you for coming.
Hanging with the gals.
Yeah.
Is that what?
Yeah. Hanging with the gals. Should that be the end? That's how we should end the show, right? Just hanging with the gals.
Yeah.
Just another day in the life. We got to speak to the head of HR, Kathleen Hogan, today on Gals. That'll wrap it up.
All right.
We'll
great.
See you next time.